Welcome to the CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to Touch a Heart, hosted by Alicia G. Brown, president and founder of the Women's Worship Fest Incorporated, discussing topics that are difficult and tender to the heart, tackling the areas that plague our society and have caused suffering and hardship, but have found hope in God. For the next 50 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host. Good evening, everyone. It rained in Las Vegas today. Did it rain where you are? I'd like to know, because it's kind of strange to me because it doesn't rain too often out here in Las Vegas. I'm Alicia Brown, your radio host of Touch a Heart Talk Show. It's an entity of Touch a Heart International, formerly known as, yes, Women's Worship Fest Incorporated, bringing to you every Monday evening real people, real testimony, and real breakthrough. Today is miraculous, marvelous, and magnificent Monday. It has been a great day for me. I have been just trusting God for what the end is going to be. It has been a great day in faith because I barely made it here. I mean, I couldn't even get the keys. I had rented a car, and I didn't even have the keys to where I needed to go. So it's just been amazing. I couldn't even get to you, and it's like in 5 seconds, everything came together. So God is so great, and he's worthy to be praised. I'm grateful for him today. Let me share a scripture with you today on this miraculous, marvelous, magnificent Monday. The scripture is going to be found in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and the 15th verse, in the New Living Translation. And it says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them." I love the fact that we serve a God that lets us know that there is no condemnation, and we are all sinners, but through his grace and mercy, he loves and accepts us. And I don't know if that makes you happy, but it has me doing the happy dance right now. I'm glad to know that God is that type of God for us. So I want to invite you every Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to join us as we pray for schools. We are led by our conference call host, Lucretia McKinney of Paris, California. Every Monday morning, we are praying for the teachers, students, administrators of the various schools, and we want you to join us. So please call 712-432-3100, and the code for that is 244-035. Also, get a spiritual boost by going to our website and clicking on to Refueled. You'll receive words of motivation and encouragement to help you strengthen your spiritual walk. So please visit our website, and you can find out all that we're doing here at Touch Your Heart International. Or anything that I might have said that was too fast and you didn't catch it, go on to touchyourheart.org, and you can also listen to any episodes that you might have missed here on Touch Your Heart Talk Show. God has been so faithful to us, so great to us. We have had a tremendous passion and a heart for those in ministry. We have added a crisis chat room, and it's been a blessing. It's for those vulnerable to suicide, overwhelmed and frustrated and burnt out with the ministry. This chat room is facilitated by trained, confidential listening agents, and this chat room has the capability to translate to as many as 30 different languages. We will also be offering webinars that will be focusing on teaching individuals how to minister to the minister biblically. And so we're just really excited about what God is doing, and it's much more coming. So please keep us in your prayer and ask God to guide us. If you want to participate in any way or you need more information, please send us an email at touchyourheartintl@gmail.com. Again, that's touchyourheartintl@gmail.com. This evening is extremely significant show. Now, I want to tell you first of all that I have been under terrible attack, spiritual attack, all day. And I was sharing with some of my friends in the studio that I'm glad because I think I made the enemy really mad, and that makes me happy when I make him mad. So I'm really excited about it because I've been under attack. I have guests that have been under attack, and I'm short one producer tonight. So I want to say to my guests, if you didn't call in early, I don't know your number, so you might have to send me a quick personal a message on Facebook or text me if you have my text, because I probably won't know your number if you didn't call in early. So you need to let me know that you're waiting in the studio so I can include you. But this evening is a significant show, and I'm sure you have heard and seen so many news reports of all that has transpired in Ferguson and Baltimore, as well as other places. Tonight, I want to provide a platform to discuss a few issues. But mainly, I want to give way to seek God in prayer, because 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and heal their land." And our land is in need of healing. My heart was also drawn to a scripture in Acts, the 16th chapter and the 9th verse, which says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" It is time, my friends, for us to rally together and seek God for help and reach out for others for love and support. I'm so very excited about this show, because this is one of those subjects that would be called a sensitive topic, where everyone wants to tend to tread lightly, and believe me, that is exactly how the enemy wants it. He likes us to keep things in the dark. But tonight, we are going to put light on this issue, and the light is the light of Jesus Christ. So I'm so excited. I have selected a few hand-selected individuals that I thought would be perfect for this healthy conversation and prayer. First of all, I want to mention a dear friend of mine. Her name is Cynthia Patero, and I told her, "I want you to be on the show, Cynthia, because you bring a different take to this issue on race." I'm not going to tell you all her story, but I will say this. She is not a black woman. She is a woman of a different background, but she has shown love in a situation that could cause racial division. I've had her on the show before, and she did something absolutely miraculous. She was on almost absolutely every TV station in Las Vegas because of what she did. And I'm going to get out the way, and I'm going to put Cynthia on the line, because I really want her to share. Hi, Cynthia. How you doing?
Oh, hi, beautiful. How are you?
I'm great, Cynthia. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm really
so
glad to be back, and always love sharing God's favor and what he does, because it's the best thing we have, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
God divine.
Absolutely.
God divine. So.
Amen. Amen. So, I mean, I wanted you to come because, like I said, I think you have a twist in what is usually known. Like right now, everybody is focusing on Baltimore, and everyone is saying Black Lives Matter. And I was telling my friends on studio, everybody's saying Black Lives Matter, and absolutely they do matter. But I'm here to say, and I know you will agree with me, Cynthia, all life matters.
All
absolutely
life.
All life matters.
Every life matters.
And you have an amazing testimony of how not only how you lost a life that was near and dear to you, but you saved a life as well. So can you share with us a little bit about that?
You know, just briefly, my testimony, my son, 22 years old, was murdered. And he was married by a young man, same exact age, 1 month apart. Just came up and shot him for his car and just left him for dead. And it was a brutal murder. It wasn't pretty. It was a brutal murder. How do I describe? My son is Caucasian, and the gentleman that shot him was black. If some people prefer Caucasian, white, black, American, African, I mean, whatever it is, black and white.
We get the idea.
Yeah, that's what I guess we're going to talk about. I never would intend to offend anybody. But in any event, that was 4 years ago, March 30, 2011, and the trial was this last February that I sat through every moment of it, found out the details. And what happened was, Lisa, is when I was crying out to God about what I wanted to happen in the trial, wanted the kid to take a plea bargain, and he kept refusing, and I kept asking God, why are you not answering my prayers, and why, I want. And he clearly spoke to me and asked me to look at this kid like a mother would look at a child. Not of that he did an act of violence, not that he killed my son, he's a murderer, he was a drug addict, and not to look at him like that, to look at him from a mother's love. And it's amazing the transformation that took place in my heart when I was obedient to that and to what Christ asked me to do. And the prosecution was, of course, going after the death penalty. And I couldn't, I didn't feel comfortable in that when God had asked me to do that, because I'd be killing another child. And yeah. I'd be part of that. And I didn't want to be part of that. And when I went to the prosecution, I said, I want to talk to you. And then they brought in the defense because they have to be part of that as well. And they were, you know, just shocked that I would even think of asking them to remove the death penalty for such a horrendous crime against my family. And my two sons and myself all agreed that we believe that it was morally and not ethically right to do. So we came with a family decision and asked that they did that. And so we went before the judge. And so they dropped the death penalty, and he ended up getting life in prison with the chance of parole in 28 years. And I told him face to face that he that I believed in destiny, and I believe he still has one, even though he took the wrong path in his life, and that wherever he was going, that I believe that he could do something for Christ and something to fulfill a new road for him to walk. And in that, he sent me a letter from prison asking me to forgive him. And just what that did, that whole scenario, that whole black-white issue, and I've heard this from many people of prejudice that felt like it broke something prejudice in them.
Amen.
And that was, I believe, the key in what God wanted to show, that it's not, God looks at us the same exact way as he looks at anybody, whether you are, whether whatever your race is, whatever your nationality is, whatever your hair color is, I don't care. He looks at us with the same heart, and that's how we are to look at others. And this whole thing going on in Baltimore, if people could just see that there is a spirit of prejudice in all of us that can be overcome and change the atmosphere when you forgive and when you can look at a person for who God made him to be. God did not make this man to be a killer. That's not what he intended for him to be.
Amen.
And so that's pretty much that part of, there's so much more. You know, we can go on and on and talk about
that
every
detail.
That was a
capsule version, and that was great. But you know one thing? I remember when I was seeing all the news coverage of it, Cynthia, I remember seeing you go over to the mother and hug the mother. That's what brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's her son. You know, right or wrong, that's her son. And for you losing your son to be over, to able to go over there and hug her, I know that probably just blew her away. I know
that blew her away. And Lisa, that was actually his grandmother.
Okay.
His mother died 2 years ago while he was in prison, and he didn't get to attend her funeral. And I didn't know that when God spoke to me and asked me what he asked of me. So, but that was the grandmother and the aunt and everybody that was there. And from the minute the trial began, there was no animosity between either party. And they were very gracious with me. We had conversation outside of the courtroom, and they, you know, they were a loving Christian family. So I believe that, you know, all around, you know, it just took charge of the whole setting for the trial.
The thing God has really impressed upon me in the midst of all this, like you say, the Ferguson, the Baltimore, every issue, New York, everywhere, all this racial divide. The thing that God is really speaking to me about is, like, you know, you can put up as many signs as you want to, you can have as many marches as you want to, but until we listen to the voice of God like you did and hear what God is saying about the matter, we're not going to resolve these issues, because we're still, like you said, we have this thing inside of us, this prejudice inside of us, or this opinion, or our sides, or our own agendas inside of us, and only God can break that. Only God can really give us direction, and I think that that's what we need to be doing, is we need to be praying more and protesting less.
You know, the thing of it is forgiveness is the key that unlocks the doors of resentment and bitterness and the handcuffs of hatred, and it's the power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. And that was a quote from Corrie Ten Boom. And I believed in that my whole life when I read her story. Anybody can forgive. It's a matter of you forgive. Forgiveness is not the excuse for their behavior, but forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. And I believe hearts are broken because of the society that we live in today. And, you know, a black man kills a white man kills a black man, and the way, you know, it's just, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what God is stirring up, but I know that he wants to change the atmosphere in how we view prejudice. And I also believe that there are roots of bitterness in all of us and how we were raised, and the generational curses that have happened against slavery, against the white man, the way they treated. You know, when you look back at history and you see how people were treated, it's I can't even imagine it. I was sitting next to my friend Barbara Lupe in church yesterday, and we were holding hands. And I looked at her, and I should have taken a picture of us holding hands. And I didn't think about it till later. But what a powerful statement it was that we love each other so dearly, and that's what I want to see people do. You know, it's not about, you know, society just wants to take everything and make it about who was wronged.
Yes, my family
was very wronged.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I shared with you the other night, but Thursday night, my son Joseph was ambushed. And
I've been praying for you.
A black man with a hoodie put a gun up against his chest. Here we go, round two, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, what is this?
And you know what?
That's
the first thing I thought, Cynthia, when you told me, when we started praying for you. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, and it's horrible. I wondered if he was black. I said,
yeah,
because,
he
you
was.
Know, that's how the enemy operates. I'm like, of course.
Yeah, but
he's gonna
listen, his friend that ambushed him with was Latino, so it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
when you do something wrong, you do something wrong.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it's absolutely wrong behavior. It's behavior,
yeah,
that is not, that society is not meeting. And I believe socially we have to start in school with our kids, having compassion and allowing Bibles back into the school system, back,
amen,
into our government. And you know what? There is hope for everybody. Hope
there absolutely
for everybody.
Is hope. Absolutely hope.
There
and
is
I,
hope
and
for everybody.
I'm going to use that to segue into one of our two other guests that we have, and they are founders of Call by the Lord. It's amazing, amazing ministry that is the foundation of Facebook. You know, and I have been connected and had the opportunity to meet them. They have well over 10,000 people that come to them, and they have prophecy and they have prayers and they interpret dreams. But I was looking on their one show on their one day, Cynthia, and it was like so many denominations, so many backgrounds, racial backgrounds, everything. There is no boundaries as far as the love of God goes when it comes to reaching each other and seeking God. And I said, I'm going to ask him to join the show, because that's what it's all about, when we can come together and think it's not about color. Like you said, if you look on the Touch of Heart Facebook right now, Cynthia, you'll see a white hand and a black hand holding each other, exactly what you just said. And I thought when you were saying that, I'm like, that is exactly right. So, but with that being said, I want to go to Marnie and Bridget from Call by the Lord and welcome them to the show. They've been here before, and I just thought that you guys would be amazing for this show. Welcome to Touch Your Heart.
Hello, Alicia.
Hey. Hi. Hi, is this Marnie?
This is Marnie. That was Bridget.
Hi, Bridget.
Hello, Cynthia. Hello, Alicia. Nice to meet you, Cynthia. And
nice
good
to meet
speak
you, girl.
To you again. You know, I just want to say that, you know, my heart breaks for you. You know, I couldn't imagine having to walk through your shoes in a situation like this. But you know, a lot of what you said was very accurate and true. Forgiveness is the key. You know, forgiveness is the key to unlock the hearts to so many things. But also, you know, there's love. You know, it's the love of the Lord in you know, in the forgiveness and to be able to, you know, love like Jesus to change people's lives. You know, because love does conquer all, you know. I was sharing with Lisa before the show, and we were talking about the love of the Father and the love of thy neighbor. And I just feel that what you showed, you are the example of what love is to that young man. You are the example of, you know, to love like Jesus. To that young man, and I want to personally say thank you for that. So
that's very kind of you to say. I appreciate that, you know. I really do. That's very kind of you to.
Well, and you know, and the thing is not everybody is able to do, you know, that. Not everybody has the, we all have the, excuse me, the ability to love. It's just that because of past hurt, you know, struggles, it hardens people's hearts, you know. And that's when Jesus, you know, whenever you let Jesus in, he can take and he can just, you know, rearrange, you know, your heart and marinate it, you know, and saturate it with him. And he can just do wonders, you know, with love, you know. But my heart does break for you, but it just, I don't know. I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for loving that young man. I want to thank you for being obedient to the Lord, because I know you changed his life by your actions. You know, he'll never, you know, look at life the same. You know, I just feel positive about this, that he'll never look at life the same because of your actions, you know, of how you handled the situation and approached him and loved him, Cynthia. You loved him. You forgave him and you loved him, you know. So, I mean, amen. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
So,
and that's
what
it's
about.
We need
more people. Yes, we need
yeah.
more people to love like Jesus. You know, we need that in today's society, you know. So...
And that's exactly true. We do not want to forgive just because the Bible says we have to.
Mm-hmm.
We want to forgive because we loved Christ so much that we want to model his goodness.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And that is not through human willpower, just through supernatural grace of the one who forgave us our debt.
Yes. Right. Right.
Absolutely.
Amen. And you know, that word forgive, sometimes I think even that creates a little bit of rebellion with people, because when we were little and our parents said, you better tell him you're sorry, you better forgive him right now, I'm telling you, you know, you better forgive him or I'll give you something to cry about, you know that? And
yeah.
And when we were little, we were like, I don't want to forgive him. I don't want to say I'm sorry. I don't want to tell him. I'm mad. I'm angry. They didn't, you know, we weren't allowed to process like that hurt that when somebody hurt us when we were young. And so I think that might have created some rebellion in us. So we need to just kind of say, you know what, that's not what forgiveness is about. You know, it's not. Just you want to do it because you love, like you said, it's about loving somebody, not because you're told to forgive or you have to forgive. And when you understand the love of Christ and how many times he's forgiven us, it just gives you a new perspective on how forgiveness works in us and how it takes you to a higher level of what it does for you inside, and the power of forgiveness is released. And you just notified hell of that release.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's why I also think Called by the Lord is so important, because, well, one thing, you're on Facebook. You're not, like, face-to-face with people, but you do see your picture. You do know who they are. You know, make people become friends. And it's like the times I've been a part of this organization, I've never felt any different than anyone else. And I think that's a picture of what heaven is going to be like. I'm here to tell you right now, Marnie, when we get to heaven, no one will be taking the black card or the white card or the Hispanic card and saying, or the Asian card. It will just be, we'll be so happy just to be there. We won't care. I don't even think when we get in our spiritual bodies, heavenly bodies, it will be a color. But
right.
It won't be an issue. And
that's,
I mean,
right.
We always say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we have to start doing. We have to start trying to live as if we were there. And that comes
right.
with forgiveness and love. And, oh, and by the way, I want to say, my producer just corrected me. There's over 13,000 followers and supporters of Called by the Lord.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
And again,
yeah.
like you were saying, Alicia, you know, we've never even considered that. You know, when we let people come on the group, their races and their cultural background and their church is an irrelevant issue to us. I mean, we just let them in because we want to love on them the way that Jesus loved them. You know, and the racial issue is an irrelevant issue to us. I mean, we have, you know, even in our leadership, we have people of every race, different races and
yeah.
backgrounds and the whole nine yards. It's just an irrelevant thing to us because, you know, it's like we're colorblind in a way. It's, at least it is for me. That has never even
yeah.
been something that I even considered at all
yeah,
in any way,
absolutely.
Shape, or form.
Absolutely.
You know, it was just to love like Jesus did, because he didn't care.
Yeah.
He didn't care about that, you know.
Mm.
So that's where we are. As far as Called by the
yeah.
Lord, that's our message, is to love like Jesus did. And what Cynthia was saying about sometimes when we were young and we didn't want to forgive, you know, sometimes we think we have to, if we forgive, we have to completely forget everything. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
that's not always so. sometimes we learn a lesson and we remember, but we do have to forgive because we are forgiven, you know, and we have to let all that go. We have to let it go, you know. I heard a song just the other day about how many times have you been forgiven, as many as a drop, however many drops there are in the ocean. And it's like, wow.
Wow.
Mind-boggling the amount of forgiveness that would be one drop in the ocean, you know, for us. So, anyhow, I thought I would mention that. That's a pretty magnificent ideal of what forgiveness is in God's eyes.
Right.
Wow.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that, you know, we need to be able to see ourselves as equals, you know, and not to see each other as black and white or brown or red or yellow or anything of that nature. I mean, we need to look at us, at each other as, you know, beautiful colors of God's creation, you know, because we were all created, you know, in his image, you know, and that's how we need to look, you know, we need to look at each other, you know. Color is nothing but color. We are still all human. We are still, you know, a child of God. You know, we were created, you know, again, you know, in his image, you know, so... And many people don't look at it like that. And, you know, and it does need to, you know, start in the schools, but it also needs to start at home, you know. And we just need to reprogram our minds, you know, and do away with, you know, prejudice and the racial divide, you know, just do away with
Absolutely. And I think God can open doors for that. I got to brag a little bit on my friend again, Cynthia, because she was out somewhere receiving an award, and while she was out there receiving an award, a well-known actor, Ed Asner, was there, and she had a chance to share Jesus Christ with him and led him to Christ. And I want to say this because, Cynthia, what we think about in ourselves, we look at it, it's totally overwhelming. All this situation with the racial divide and everything, but how would you have thought like last month, oh, I'm going to be running into Ed Asner and I'm going to have a chance to lead him to Christ. When God opens a door, he can blow our minds with the possibilities.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what he wants to do with this racial divide. I think that he wants to open doors for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was actually one of the funnest conversations I've had in a long time.
Wow.
He was so real, and he opened the door. He opened the big door, and he just said, "All that I've done in my lifetime, I'm never going to make it to heaven."
Ooh.
He opened that big door for me to be able to step in and say, you know, forgiveness is for everybody, Ed, and I'm here to tell you, this is a divine appointment for you and I. So, yeah, he received Christ. It was great.
Wow.
And
awesome.
And like you said, you stepped in the door. You absolutely stepped in the door.
Amazing.
You know what, Marnie? I know that Marnie and Virginia, I know that we are here to pray about the racial divide, and we're getting ready to go into that time. I don't even think we're going to have time to open the lines. I want to go into that. If we do, I'll say to my listeners, we will do that. But Spirit just put something on my heart. Can you guys give a word to Cynthia? Because, I mean, I just want to bless her. I just want to bless her. Yeah, so could you do that?
Mm-hmm. Give me just a second, and let me just kind of seek the word a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Holy Spirit.
That's such an awesome testimony you have, Cynthia, the whole thing. And then to have met Ed Asner and led him to the Lord, that is so amazing. That is just amazing. I love that testimony.
It is.
Yes. That is just
I just know God has got so much for her, so much.
Yes. Wow.
Okay. Holy Spirit. Cynthia, I see you as a woman who has a big heart. And I don't just say that because of some of the information that, you know, we've you know, talked about tonight, but because I actually see this big heart on the front of your chest. I actually saw it beating outside of your chest. I just saw it beating. And I feel that that it beats for others. Okay, now again, this is some information that, you know, I'm picking up, but it's some that we've discussed, so just kind of bear with me too. I see that, you know, it beats for others. And I also see that because of your obedience of, you know, loving like Jesus, of being the example of Jesus to not just this young man, but to this family, okay, and to the world, that doors or doors of opportunity are going to open for you, and that you're going to be able to give your testimony to many more opportunities to be able to share, you know, the love of Jesus. I see lives being changed because of what you have to say, because of your testimony. I see lives being changed. I see lives, you know, salvation in this. I see salvation leading many to Christ. I just heard that you're a conqueror, okay, that you are a conqueror, that you are an overcomer, and that you are powerful. You are powerful, Cynthia, that you are a force not to be reckoned with, okay, that you will move mountains, that you will move the mountains, you know. Holy Spirit. And I just feel led to tell you that the Lord just loves you and that he is just so pleased with you. He's pleased because of your obedience. He's pleased because of even now the doors of opportunity that he has opened for you to be able to go and share, you know, not just the love, you know, but the gospel that, you know, you've gone, you know, and there's been no hesitation. You know, I sense there's been no hesitation. And I'm hearing lead. It's like I can hear you saying, lead, Lord, lead me, Lord, and I will go. Tell me where to go and I will go. Okay, and so he's fixing to I just bombard you, you know, with opportunities to be able to, you know, to tell it more. I mean, tell it again, you know, and I just keep hearing, you know, lives are going to be changed, hearts are going to be changed, you know, because of your testimony, you know, and whatever, you know, what the enemy uses, you know, for evil, God can take it and he can turn around for his good, for his glory. And that's what he's going to do. And that is what he is doing through you, Cynthia. And because of that, your son's legacy still lives. He still lives. Mm. And I love you, wow, my sister. I just want you to know, I love you. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Mean that. To, you know, the deepest part is I can say this, you know, through a telephone call. I love you, you know, and I just want you to know that, you know, and, you know, I'm giving you a hug right now, okay?
I love hugs. I'm a hugger. Thank you.
Yeah.
Praise God. I receive every word of that. I actually was writing down my notes while you were saying that because I stand on the word of God and what I hear.
Mm. Yeah. Amen. Well, like I said, I just see doors of opportunities. I mean, you've had doors of opportunities, but I think he's going to not think, let me rephrase that. He's going to widen the territory for you. Wow. He's going to widen it. You have a ministry, okay? You have a ministry, you know? So there's an expansion. You've got an expansion, sister. So praise God. I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
And I didn't even share what your ministry was. Do you want to share what your ministry is, Cynthia?
I started an organization called Morning Hope of Las Vegas, MORNING. And what we do is we assist and help people to overcome grief and trauma by the power of God.
Wow.
Wow. Absolutely.
That's an awesome ministry.
Yeah, it's slow in moving, and we meet actually this evening is our last meeting till next September. But I've been able to, God's just put people in my path that want to be ministered to. There are people that are dealing with trauma that just want to hold on to it and massage it and stay in that place. And I just believe that that's not where God wants to keep us. And I just believe that, you know, we need to become a beacon of hope and restoration for the community of people that are walking in trauma. And, you know, and another thing is we as Americans don't allow families to grieve. We put them in a box and say, okay, I don't want to feel, I don't want to hurt, I don't want to know what you're going through. And we give 3 to 5 days for grief, whereas in other countries they allow anywhere from 3 to 6 months to a year. And when you're a victim of crime, you get a whopping $1,000 for grief counseling.
Wow,
and
yeah.
You know how far that goes.
Not far.
Yeah.
And the other thing is I was able to be on a panel about a month or so ago of lawyers and student lawyers at our local college here. And one of the prosecutors that was on the panel said, we want restitution for these families. And so they were, you know, they want to seek the death penalty instead of finding a solution or a alternative to rehabilitate these people that, you know, not everybody is going to be rehabilitated. We know that. Not everybody's going to come out of the darkness that they're living in. But there is hope for thousands of people. I mean, Hope for Prisoners has a 98% success rate to bring in people who have been in prison back into society. And so with that, what my point was, he said, we want to bring restitution. And I said, I spoke up and I said, well, how does bringing restitution to my family by killing another person and having him on death row for 20 years, costing the American taxpayer $2.5 million of your salaries, the judge's salaries, and every other salary that goes on with the how many appeals they get to do? And we don't even have a facility here in Nevada that even kills people. So they just sit there. And
yeah.
I said, if you want to give restitution to a family, then why don't you pay some of the devastation bills that come up against when a mother loses her husband and she's home with 5 kids,
yeah.
Or a mother loses a, you know, whatever, when the breadwinner is gone from that family, where's the restitution? I don't hear restitution. It might be financial. It might not be. It might be something else. I don't know. Maybe, you know, how are we going to take care of these kids when they lost their mother and their father? Do you know?
Yeah,
it takes money. Sorry,
wow.
It takes money to do that. And we're spending all this money having these people on death row. And boy, I tell you what, I never saw a white man shut his lips so quickly as he did after I said that.
Well, the truth be told, it is sincere, and our time is really getting away from us. But the truth is, this situation is so deep, we can't do it by ourselves. And that's why I wanted, you know, if nothing else, would take a few moments and really go into prayer and ask God to do what His Word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, to heal our land and to open up opportunities for people to forgive and to love and to show what love looks like. You know, as Heidi Baker used to say, love looks like something. A lot of people have never seen what it looks like. So, Marnie, do you want to start us out?
Yeah, I do. And actually, Cynthia, I want to add just something real quick to the word that I gave you. Before you even started speaking, I heard the word advocate. And I feel like you're going to be an advocate for not just the victims, but for the victim, if I said that correctly, for prisoners and for families, for all affected. So with that said, I'll go ahead and close with prayer. Lord, we come before you to just give you glory, to give you praise. Lord, racial tensions are on the rise, and we are living in times where we are divided, brother against brother, sister against sister. Lord, I just ask that you move on the hearts of men so that they may come to know you in such a way, Lord, that we'll be able to love thy neighbor as thyself, that people will not be judged by one's race, but by one's character. Lord, help us to teach our children that the color of one's skin may be different, whether it's red, yellow, black, or white, but that we are all equal, that all were created in your image and are entitled to a life of happiness and liberty. Lord, I pray that racism and prejudice will become a thing of the past, that they will become just a word that we will have to look up in a dictionary to find the meaning to, because no one ever hears or speaks of it anymore. Lord, we ask that for radical change. Our once strong and mighty nation is becoming desolate right before our eyes, but you, Lord, said that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you would hear from heaven, and you would forgive our sin, and you would heal our land. Lord, we humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for our wickedness. Forgive us for turning away from you and from your laws, your commandments. We lift up our leaders. We ask that you give them wisdom and knowledge to rule this country accordingly with you at the head and not at the tail. Lord, put prayer back in our schools and our government. Oh, Lord, heal our nation and communities. Heal the minds and the hearts of men and women against racial division so that we all can live in one accord, to be able to come together in unity and praise and worship your mighty name it should be, Lord. Lord, I thank you, for I know you are moving even now as we speak, that it is your desire for us to come together and love one another as Christ loved us. To you all glory and praise. Be glorified in the midst of all of what is going on in the world today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. And I had invited Pastor Trevor Johnson, who I have known for many, many years, even as a child. We grew up in church in Compton, California. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Compton, California, but it is a very a predominantly black area. Originally, when I moved to Compton, California, it was predominantly white. And within the years, it'll be black. And a lot of things going on in that area. And him being a community leader, I thought it would be good to have representation. So I just want to give way to a little prayer, because I really wanted someone from the black community, and I guess that qualifies me because I'm black and I'm in the community, and that's fine too. But so I'm going to pray, because I want to pray for our people, the black people, because there has been a struggle. There has been the history of the slavery, the history of the civil unrest, the history and the fight for Martin Luther King, who for so many years had the dream for us to come together. And yet it seems like we're still having so many difficulties and so many struggles. And it may be, Lou Ingalls came to our church a few weeks back, and he talked about, you know, that there may be still healing that has to come for the black community. And I believe that to be true, because it seems like that's somewhere where we continue to go. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just bless your name, and I praise you, and I magnify you, and I stand in the gap for every black person, every African American that is dealing with the struggle of feeling the prejudice or feeling unforgiveness or feeling ostracized or feeling devalued or unimportant. that they would come to know the love of Jesus and know who they are in Jesus, that they are not identified by color or by economic status or anything else. They are identified by being your child and the love that you have for them, Father God. May they come to know you and know you in a real way. And even if they know you and they're walking with you, Father God, but yet they have hurt and frustration and struggle and issues that they're dealing with, Father God, give them forgiveness. Give them a love that is your love, Father God, that runs from heart to heart and breast to breast. Father God, I know personally for me a little while ago, I had to deal with a situation that was about race against me. And it was hard, Lord, because it took me back to a place I had not been in a long time. I felt that I had overcome so much, and I had to really get on my face and ask you to give me that love that I needed to forgive someone who obviously was treating me a different way because of my color. So, Father God, give us the desire to want resolution, to when we are hurt, not hold on to that and give Satan a piece of territory, Father God, but that we would love you and ask you to heal us and ask you to cleanse us and ask you to give us the love that you gave Cynthia when she was able to forgive, Father God. So please, Father God, we're asking that. I'm personally asking that for my people and for me and for everyone that is in the struggle of forgiveness or prejudice or doesn't like someone because of the color of their skin, Father God. Give them your love. Give them your eyes. You see and you love everyone, Father God. So give that right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's awesome, amen. Felicia. And can I add something to that? And
yes.
It's not just a prayer, but it's what you were saying, that mm-hmm. I believe it's time to take charge of what past generations have bound up and
mm-hmm.
declare the
mm-hmm.
blessings for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
We can control our approach to our future life and how we choose and make choices to stand in the gap for those that were hurt or those that hurt. And maybe, I don't know what it is, but maybe the white generation needs to ask for forgiveness to the black generation. I don't know what it is, but I do know that the atmosphere is going to change when we start doing this and taking in our prayer life the generational curses that are being held, and they're held captive, and just that God would release that spirit of forgiveness between the races. I mean, I don't know.
Races, period. All races.
Yeah.
Yes, all races.
Yeah. Every bit of it.
And that's
no
exactly what Lou, I'm sorry, that's exactly what Lou Engle said. He said that that the white people needed to apologize to the black people for what had happened. And the reason why that needs to happen, it's because when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that's when we take away the power of the enemy. Because
yeah.
then people say, I have nothing to apologize for. I haven't done anything. I've done, you know, that was something that happened a long time ago. But until we can break it off and say, you know what, I'm sorry. You know, I don't care if it's somebody, you know, there's been times when I've seen someone of my color act a complete hot mess, and I've turned around and I've told somebody, I'm sorry for my people. I am so sorry. It was not me. It was not something that I did, but I felt so sorry. I felt like I needed to make an apology for my people, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
that makes
and
sense.
You know what?
Right.
That's not a bad thing to do, and I believe that with, you know, I feel so unbelievably saddened by what's happening in Boston.
Yeah.
I just feel so saddened. I want to go there and I want to get on a microphone mm-hmm. and just call out. I'm sorry that this happened. You know, I am so sorry that this happened to your loved one, you know, or, you know, the way this the way some of these killings are happening is so wrong. It's so
wrong. Did you say Boston? Were you talking about Baltimore?
Baltimore, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was thinking of the Boston bombing the other day when I was listening to these family members that they lost their loved ones, and they were happy that they all got the death penalty, that he got the death penalty.
Yeah, that's horrible.
You know?
That's horrible, yeah. Yeah. We have a mutual friend, Marnie, Bridget, and I, that has a loved one that's involved in the Baltimore thing. I wanted to have her on the show, and I can't because she split down the middle. She even has a family, a close friend to her family that's a part of the police department. And so they're struggling and they're hurting because that's their family. And then the other people who are upset about the black guy who lost his life, they're struggling. But it's like, it is not a win-win. I'm sorry. When you talk about six officers about to go, you know, to have to defend themselves, that's not a win-win. It's hurt. It's hurt all around. It's hurt all around.
Yeah.
Yes.
It definitely is. It definitely is way out of control, way out of control. You know, the police violence. And, you know, the other thing you want to look at is, hey, if you weren't doing something wrong, you wouldn't come up against authority. And we don't, we're losing the, like Pastor Paul was saying the other day, we're losing our respect for authority in our country. People don't have respect for authority, and I don't understand that. I was raised, you know, to fear God and to fear police, you know.
Yeah. It's the young people. It seems like it's the young people that have this lack of respect for authority. And it's like, where is that coming from?
You know?
Home raising, being raised at home or not being raised at home.
Taking our Bible out of the school system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come to prison, the first thing they do is hand you a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But
you
can't have them in schools anymore, you know.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, ladies, I thank you so much. I appreciate all that all of you are doing, and I appreciate, I welcome the fact that the enemy did everything he could to tear up the show today, that my studio is not acting right. I couldn't even get Trevor on the line. I'm excited, though, because he did not want this to happen, and it happened, and God gets all the glory, and we're going to continue to pray for this situation, and I hope that it sparks something in the hearts of individuals not to continue to feed, by even our conversation, Cynthia, feed the negative portion of it, but maybe start praying for Jesus to make a difference in this world.
Amen.
Yeah, to resurrect himself in our society.
Yes.
Amen.
And that takes us,
absolutely.
That takes us Christians. We are Jesus' representatives in the earth. It takes us sharing his love with those other people, just like Cynthia did. For that prisoner and his family.
And that's the key, that we show people that we are Christians by our love, not by pointing and saying we're better than you because I'm a Christian and you're not.
Exactly.
You know, we need to show love. And I do not like to listen to Bible bashing people, hit people over the head. And, you know, that has to go away, too, by the way.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, I am so thankful and so grateful that I know some amazing women for the cause of Christ, and you guys all are that. I appreciate so much you individually and corporately. I appreciate you so much. So thank you so much. I think that this was a different discussion, and I'm glad that we had an opportunity. And Cynthia, I love you, girl. You're amazing, and I pray that God is going to continue. Say again the name of – do you have a Facebook page for that, Cynthia?
We do. It's Morning Hope of Las Vegas.
Amen. I'm going to ask our producer to put that on our Facebook page. And, of course, please put Call by the Lord on our Facebook page so that people who are listening tonight, if they want to follow up with you, they can do that. So thank you so much for being a part of the show, and please don't hesitate to come back again. And we always have so much to talk about because you all have so much to share and so much amazing testimony we want to share with our listeners. Please stay tuned again on next week. Next Monday, we'll be here again, same time, same place. And as always, we want to ask you to go out there, touch a heart, and change a life. God bless you.